This is CliffCentral.com.
That's Black Beatles, Ray Sremmurd. Are you ready for some interesting information that you didn't know about until now? Are you? Well, punk, are you? It is 2 minutes after eight. CliffCentral.com, touchcentral.fm. Let me remind you that we will be taking this show off of touchcentral.fm and putting it on cliffcentral.com only from next year. So we'll finish at around the 23rd of December on this show, and then the show will move to cliffcentral.com only. We might also change quite a lot, but it won't be anything that you will be upset about, I can promise. Just more of the stuff you like and less of the stuff you don't. And if you have any suggestions, of course, you can always get hold of us, Gareth at cliffcentral.com. And some exciting new developments on touchcentral.fm as well. So we'll tell you about those as soon as we can confirm them. Loads of things happening all at once. Many plates spinning in the air at the same time. Don't forget Ari and Kat coming up at 9. Don't forget that Lerato Shabalala comes in at 11. And that O'Neill is on at 1 today. And O'Neill's guest, Glenn Zito.
Nice.
The Avenue moves to Cliff Central and Touch Central, huh? Well, Touch Central anyway. So that's going to be fun. That's with O'Neill today and Glenn Lewis, who's popping by to mix live on air. Then it's, of course, Tebow Touch. And don't forget the special Four Pipes convoy, which is taking off to Rustenburg this weekend.
They don't stop, huh?
They don't stop. And you can't go with three pipes or two.
No.
I have one.
I have one.
Imagine us going vroom, vroom, vroom. And then these huge four pipes.
Yeah, it doesn't count if it's you and three friends either.
Yeah.
That might be four pipes, but it doesn't count.
No, not at all. So, Flaxy, you've been invited to this four pipes convoy?
I've been invited. Everyone's invited, but I don't have four pipes. Not unless, like, I stack my car on another three cars or something. Maybe one of the four pipes can tow me or something.
I'm with you.
But there's some really cool cars going. Like, it's those high-end, like, Ferraris, Lambos, the coolest cars.
Sounds amazing. Sounds great. Sounds like a lot of fun. Huh? Don't you think? That's the sound of Touch leaving the parking lot. Okay, now, Professor Maguve is in the news. Do you know who he is?
The chairperson of the SABC.
The only remaining board member of the SABC.
That's
as
also
well.
True.
I think
that's
his title
true.
Now is SABC's board's last remaining member. That's his title.
Well, he is the SABC. Mm-hmm. L'état, c'est moi.
Well, he's approached the Cape Town High Court to basically prevent that ad hoc committee that was set up to investigate the SABC and all their dealings.
Yeah.
So the DA are basically now approached. They want to prevent the prevention, essentially.
Wow.
So this Prof. Maguve is just...
You have to give Prof. Maguve some cred.
The fact he found the Cape High Court.
No, not that. The fact that this guy has stuck it out.
Yeah.
He is hard to get rid of. He's like that snake in the bogs in that block of flats.
Well, I mean, he doesn't believe that he needs to go anywhere. That's why he's hard to move.
Prof. Maguve is quite a guy, huh?
So what happens like on a day to day? Does like he's there by himself and then does he have lunch with Cloudy? How does it work?
I have no idea what happens in the SABC building anymore.
No. Board chairperson Professor Mbuyeni Maguve in Pretoria. The event is themed Walking Down the Road of Academia, an account of visually impaired people. Issues expected to be highlighted include social development, individual development, cognitive development, support system, physical and financial assistance of students with visual impairment in institutions of higher learning. Sipo?
I want to hear Prof. Maguve.
Professor, congratulations on your inaugural lecture. Can you just tell us, you mentioned basically that there is still so much that government needs to do to advance the rights of people that are living with disabilities. Can you just tell us what it is that you would like to see happen?
See.
What I would like to see
no, you can't.
Happening is that, for instance, I want to see people with disabilities truly... being employed and not just at lower positions. If they've got qualifications and skills and experience, they need to occupy senior positions.
Well, he's living his own truth. I mean, he won't leave his business. Now he's employed. He's at the top of the SABC and he will not go. He refuses to leave. So the DA are trying to prevent his prevention of the investigation into the SABC.
Because he's saying that people are biased and prejudiced against him. So he's saying that, you know, this is why this thing can't go on, because people are treating him unfairly.
Yeah, but
it's like they got an axe to grind against him.
So then then you've got to quit and you've got to take it up separately. You can't drag the whole SABC into it. I'm amazed. You know, there's so much in this country we really have to worry about. But the SABC should be just ticking along. Really, it should just keep going. They've got how many television channels? Three? Mm-hmm. Four, maybe?
Four now with the
SABC Africa, I suppose.
Oh, is that? No, I get it. They also have the 24-hour news channel. So they've got SABC 1, 2, 3, the 24-hour news channel.
Okay,
so
SABC Encore on DSTV.
No, but that doesn't belong to them.
Of course, that was all sold, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, let's call it four. Four TV channels and about 17 radio stations. And a huge archive and a bunch of other stuff, too. There's plenty of value adds. There's stuff to do. And he's trying to prevent an investigation into the SABC's dealings because he feels personally like he's being targeted or aggrieved. Then quit and sue them. And you can make some money and you can go find another job, because you rightly said in your little speech that we just played that visually impaired people or people with disabilities anywhere should be able to get jobs and should be able to get jobs at the highest of positions, which you've already proven, Prof. Maguve. So let's go and do it. Let's go and do it a second time. Come on, Prof. Come on, let's go. Let's prove to everybody this is doable. Let's not cling to one job so long that everybody starts to hate you. And people start to question whether or not you're the right guy for the job, which has already been happening. Because in doing so, you're gonna damage it for a whole lot of other people. And I'm just talking about people who use the SABC's programming to inform them about what's going on in the world. Get out of there, Prof. Maguve. Come on. Do the right thing. Why do you have to be forced to do the right thing? And then try to prevent people from forcing you to do the right thing. And then the DA has to prevent you preventing people from forcing you to do the right thing. Huh? Doesn't that sound like a terrible waste of everybody's time, Prof?
A vicious circle.
Please. I appeal to you. I know. Prof Maguve, to blind people, radio is television. So look at me now. Please, Professor Maguve, won't you just leave the SABC? Please, Professor Maguve, let's make radio great again. Is that too much to ask?
I don't think so.
I hope he heard it. Please, Prof, come on.
Okay.
We don't want to make fun of you. We got things, really important things to worry about in this country. This shouldn't be one of them. Yes, Mubs.
Are you a sexist but don't realize it?
Probably.
So,
well, depends who's holding the study.
There are a bunch of scientists at Harvard University who say that a lot of us, more than we'd care to admit, we experience unconscious gender bias.
Sure.
And this is something that they say happens outside of our control and our awareness. And they say that they have also devised a series of tests to show whether or not we experience this. Now, I'm not looking at the actual test in front of me,
mm-hmm.
but just to go through some of this interesting information. So, Google, for example, has been accused of unconscious bias in its own operations, as over 79% of its managers and engineers are male. Apple, Facebook, Twitter, and Yahoo are not far behind from Google. But what exactly is unconscious gender bias, and how and why do we have it?
And who cares? I mean, aren't we just different? That's part of the reason we are interested in each other.
Unconscious or implicit bias happens outside of our control and our awareness, apparently. Now, here is something that might be interesting to you. You may be surprised to learn that research, which was conducted by these Harvard people, shows that we consistently prefer women over men and mothers over fathers implicitly.
Yeah.
This is akin to the WAW effect, also known as women are wonderful effect. So generally speaking, most people believe that women are better human beings than men, and as a result, we prefer women over men. Women being perceived positively on the whole, as they are stereotyped as supportive, nurturing, nice, gentle.
And that's also why a lot of women go into the caring professions. It's just a fact. That's you'll find a lot more women in pediatrics, for example, right?
Now, this women are wonderful effect, however, disappears and even reverses the moment a woman steps into a male-dominant environment.
Mm-hmm. Like engineering at Google.
Or otherwise challenging stereotypical expectations. Mm-hmm. Women implicitly prefer an egalitarian to a sexist or a typical man, while men prefer that same egalitarian male less.
Hmm. I don't know what the point of all of this is. And like, what are we trying to do? Are we trying to change people?
I don't know what we are trying to do. Because, you know, these Harvard scientists say that they've conducted a test.
So, okay.
So they're trying to they're trying to find solutions to a whole bunch of problems / questions.
So let's say I'm responsible for, let's say I admit that I am an unconsciously biased sexist.
Well, these guys say that most of us are unconsciously sexist.
So then we've just got to deal with it. We've got to figure a way through it. And if I am that person, I'm going to do my best to not be consciously biased. But I can't help the subconscious. It's like you're subconsciously afraid, or you're subconsciously brave, or you're subconsciously excited, or you're subconsciously in love. These are not things you can control. So what is the point of us harping on about them? And Harvard really should be spending their money on more important things. They've got tons of it. How about, where's that cure for cancer, you motherfuckers? I'm worrying about dumb subconscious gender biases. It's outrageous.
I get it that conspiracy theorists will tell you that there is already a cure for cancer. It's
yeah, just and that the pharmaceutical,
it's not in the best interests of certain people to have it released.
All right, well, can I tell you about Wongo?
Yeah, what's that?
If you're single in the city and you're nervous about dating apps, but you're looking to find someone special, there is a whole lot of international dating stuff that you could try. But now, South Africa has its very own app made especially just for you. It's launching this month. The dating app is called Wango. That's W-A-N-G-O. As in, want to go for coffee? Flax, say it for me.
Wango for coffee?
There we go. Wongo for a drink?
Wongo get Wongo.
It's been created to take the stress out of online dating and features a unique gentleman's touch, a place to meet quality people. It's all about manners, respect, and safety. It's not creepy like Tinder, where you go on and you swipe and you swipe and you swipe and you swipe and you just, based on someone's looks, you find out whether or not you'd be interested. Well, listen, Wongo's different. You can download it in your app store right now. Go to Wongo, W-A-N-G-O. That's W-A-N-G-O. If you want a date, you know, W-A-N-G-O. Got it? If you want a date, you know, W-A-N-G-O. Go download the app now, try it out, and tell me what you think. You might just meet the person of your dreams.
And this time of year, everyone's in that mindset.
Yes.
What a win.
Absolutely. You want to go on summer holiday with someone you're excited about? Do it.
Do it, do it, do it.
Do it. Our guest coming up next. We're going to meet Shane Eagle. I'm interested to talk to this guy, South African rapper. He's also on Vuzu, and we've got a whole lot to talk to him about. He was also nominated as Mzansi's sexiest person of 2016. How's that, Mubs?
Oh, that must be nice.
Mm, not bad. Opened his own record label lately too, so there's lots to talk about. Okay, all of that and more on its way to you. It is now 16 minutes after 8.
Download the Touch Central app. Central app from Google Play Store or iTunes Store. Touch Central FM.
Yeah. Touch Central is covering all things science as we broadcast live from the Science Forum 2016. That's held at the CSIR in Pretoria on the 8th and 9th of December. This year, the focus will be on the social sciences and its role in shaping humanity, innovation, and transforming society. If you'd like to attend this informative event, don't forget to register before the 30th of November at sfsa.co.za. That's right, sfsa.co.za. SA, Science Forum South Africa, .co.za. Join Thibaut Touch, Ariane Cat as they broadcast live from the CSIR. That's sfsa.co.za. You can register now. The Science Forum 2016, proudly brought to you by the Department of Science and Technology. How does that sound for you? Pretty good?
Yeah.
Go along. You might learn something.
Always on the road forward, Gareth.
That's right, Ben. And science is the way to take ourselves forward. Not bullshit philosophy, right?
Exactly. And fake news.
Exactly. No more fake news. No more fake news. Let's do it. No more fake news. Are you ready? Everybody. No more fake news. Bullshit. No more fake news. Bullshit. No more fake news. Bullshit. On Facebook. No more fake news. On Twitter. Don't believe it. It's bullshit. It's all bullshit. That's right. No more bullshit. Right, that's all we ask this morning. Okay, would you like to meet Shane Eagle? Would you, Ben?
Yeah.
I think it's time. I think we've kept the man waiting long enough. Let us get straight into it. It is a beautiful Wednesday morning. Why the hell not? It's time to have someone who's been nominated as one of the sexiest people in Mzansi here with us. That's always nice. What a nice thing to be called.
What a way to start.
Huh? Isn't that a nice thing to be called?
I guess so. It's
sexiest. You reckon you're sexy?
It doesn't resonate. It's one
really?
Of those things. Yeah.
You look in the mirror in the morning, you're not happy to be you.
No, I wake up in the morning and I'm very happy to be me.
Yeah, I mean,
so I guess that means I'm,
if you looked like me, you'd have to ring a church bell somewhere. And you'd have a hunchback and you'd have to walk around the streets going, Esmeralda! Esmeralda! Sanctuary!
Yeah,
oh, you think
funny.
So? How are you, dude?
I'm very well, thank
good.
You.
Good, we haven't met before.
Yeah, good to meet you. I've seen you around, obviously.
Yeah, where? Because I don't go anywhere anymore.
On the telly now and then. When when I get to see, what's that show called again?
What, Idols?
Oh, Idols. No, yeah,
don't be smug. It's only the highest rated show on fucking
exactly.
television. Who? What are you pulling here? Start your shit with your little shitty Vuzu channel. What's wrong with you?
I grew up. I mean, I came up watching you, man. So it's an honor to be here.
I got it, man. So what's happening? What are you up to at the moment? You're busy rapping. You're busy.
Yeah.
You've got your own record label.
Yeah. I feel like it's important in 2016. You know, especially being in the forefront of the new wave and the new kids. I feel like it's important to set a type of new trend. Whereas you know, everyone's just been falling into signing to a label or doing things the way there's a whole preconceived way of how people should be doing things in music. And I feel like that's what I want to bring different. You know, as
So how did you get into music? I mean, you were in TV, and I suppose that's where a lot of people would know you from.
Yeah,
initially,
the initial TV show was a music show, so it was a rap competition called The Hustle, and that was what gave me.
Okay, I remember that.
Yeah, that's what gave me my big break, and that's what I used as everything to get here.
Because music is a tough business. No one really wants to get into music now. You'd have to do it because you loved it.
I feel like music business is tough, but music is natural too. Yeah.
Don't even mind if you're not necessarily making money out of it, but
definitely
but doing the music is what you love.
It makes me happy, so I'd wake up every day and do what makes me happy.
That's cool,
what
man.
Makes me rich, yeah. So
that's very, very cool.
It's been a crazy experience.
So where are you actually from? What's your sort of background? How did all of this happen to you?
Well, I grew up in a little town called Ruby Ridge in Midrand, but that was because half of my life I grew up with my mom, and then when I was older, I moved with my dad. So my dad's from Ireland, and my mom's South African. So broad.
Okay.
So
you got what, like a mixed race background?
Yeah, mixed race background.
That's exciting.
Yeah, my dad, you know, my mom thought it was smart for me to live with my dad because he could actually afford to put me in school.
Okay, so he was the one who lived in Midrand?
He lived in Wendywood.
Okay.
And my mom lived in the township. So
wow.
I had
What a crazy dichotomy.
Yeah,
it's Trevor Noah, right?
Just with bars and a little bit more of the sexiness.
Yeah, but this is what Trevor Noah writes about in his book.
Yeah, that's very true.
He talks about his mom who had to live in the township, and then his Swiss dad who kind of, you know, had this house in, I don't know, Camps Bay or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there are a lot of South African stories like this.
Yeah.
And of course, you're young enough for your parents not to have been, it wasn't illegal for them to be together.
Of course it was. Yeah.
But they still had to put up with a lot of shit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a lot. I guess even in the township, my dad still does, you know. They know that they call him, you know, the white man.
So when he goes to the township, he gets shit. And when your mom goes to Wendywood, she gets
exactly
shit.
Like the, or around the family. So it's a bit weird, but it's broadened my, you know, understanding of a lot of people.
Look, you've come out of this. You're talented. You're good looking. You've got two parents who love you. Nothing wrong with that. But it is bizarre because these two families are so different.
Word. That's very true. And I guess because I'm granted the opportunity to see how different they are, you know, I feel like people would never understand unless they're in that situation. I mean, if you're white and you have black friends, you have some sort of an understanding, or colored friends, you have some, but you don't really know what it's like to grow up in both surroundings. So it's crazy. It's like I always tell everybody, it's that on a weekend, I would visit the township and I'd just be there for just enough for it to be too long and realize that this isn't where I want to be.
Right.
You know? And then on a Sunday night, here comes my dad and picks me up and takes me to this better side. But this is so
interesting, because I think this is what South Africa is dealing with. Like what you deal with on a daily basis is it's what our whole country has, this identity crisis. You've got a mom who's a certain cultural, racial idea of how the world works, and then you've got a dad who's got a very different culture and idea of how the world works.
Very true.
It does seem to me that this is what we're always grappling with. So in some way, your struggle is a microcosm of what the macro experience for South Africa is.
True.
So how do you deal with that? I mean, do you think about your... Are you consumed by it? Do you make it an identifier for you? Your racial makeup? Is this something that makes it...
I feel like it seems extreme or seems weird from the outside looking in, but if that's all you know, then that's just a normal thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If that's the way
it's
I
like
grew up.
It's like people who grow up funny don't think they're funny, and exactly. People who can sing don't wonder about what it's like to not be able to sing.
That's exactly it. I mean, that's just how I grew up, so it's not a weird thing. I think the older I get and the more I'm exposed to like this, the actual industry, and I keep the actual people who I came up with from the hood, and now I've moved kind of because of the music business in the suburbs. Now is the only time when I actually realized that, because I have all the dudes that I came up with in a different surrounding, or with my dad, or in the suburbs, because they're always with me. So I feel like it's always been a natural and a normal thing.
How did your mom and dad meet?
Well, my dad used to be a racing driver.
Wow.
And yeah,
look at that.
He used to be a racing driver, and they came down as buddies one day from Ireland, and he never left. My dad's been here for like 40 years. He's never
got an accent?
Yeah, he does. It's the funniest thing ever.
And
you didn't
pick up any of that?
Nah, not at all.
Can you do it?
I think I sound like a retard when I try to copy.
Shame. Irish people are not retards. You're not allowed to say that.
I think they are. I've been
in Europe. In Europe, they are laughed at by a lot of people, but they're not retards. Nah, you may not say that.
He's hilarious, but it's the craziest thing ever. You know, my parents are divorced now.
Yeah.
Let's get into that. Let's dive straight into that. It's the craziest thing, you know, seeing the way my mom is and where she's from and where these type of colored people grew up from in Alex before they moved to any of these colored places.
Yeah.
See my dad, who's just like thoroughbred European Irish man, and then you get me. It's just a bizarre and crazy concept.
I think a lot of people would be very jealous, because they say that the best genetic combinations are the ones that are furthest apart, right?
That's crazy.
You've got like a Norwegian mom and a Japanese dad, you are sorted.
It's crazy, and the genetics are just moving. We good.
No, it is. And I mean, that's probably part of why you've got such a lot to take from. You've got talent. Yeah. You're obviously a confident guy. It's these are all environmental or genetic, but it's all put you together the way you are.
Yeah, it's a cool thing. I wouldn't change anything at all. I mean, when I was growing up, at first I used to get teased and stuff because I was never white enough when I was around my colored friends.
Mm.
But when I was around the white boys, I was never white enough because my hair was nappy. So it's like a weird thing.
Just can't please everybody. So you end up thinking, well, screw them all. I'm going to live my life.
I'm just going to be me.
Right.
And that's where I'm at. I'm just,
well, you wouldn't have done as well as you have, and you have done an incredible amount in your life so far. You wouldn't have done any of that if you didn't have some confidence.
That's very true. I feel like a lot of people need to find some sort of confidence in themselves, you know, regardless of what people say,
The one thing I do have to correct you on is I believe Vaughn is your manager.
Yeah.
Vaughn who does a show here with us.
Business partner.
Vaughn, who we've known for a long time. But Vaughn is not white. That's where your mistake is. Vaughn.
Yeah, that's very true. No, but I agree.
I know black people who are whiter than Vaughn.
I agree. We're sending Vaughn-y. Yeah, that's a true thing.
How did you guys meet?
That's a very crazy thing, too. Yeah. You want to go ahead?
Yeah,
was an orgy.
That would have been a cool story.
I met him in a strip club.
Yeah. We had the same shift. We actually met late last year. It was such a crazy thing. I'd met JR. You know, JR.
Yes,
yeah,
sure.
I met JR in a park for George Avakian's birthday.
Uh-huh.
And a few weeks later, he called me to his studio and I rocked
just
up.
Just the park? What, you guys just hang around under the trees?
Yeah, we're just chilling.
Would you like to go to the park?
Yeah, you know these guys, bro. I'm having a birthday at the park. Come have a picnic. So I was like, oh, cool. Okay. Rappers have picnics. That's cool. Let's go have a picnic around. So I went to the park and I was hanging out with him and we just had some conversations. I was talking to him about some ideas I have and whatever else. And he obviously liked it. And he called me back about 2 weeks ago to come to his studio just to chat. I walked into the studio and Shane was there by chance. And, wow. You know, there was a stage where Shane and JR was trying to sign Shane. He was trying to work with me and we were trying to build. He had this vision of building something and he wanted to use both of us.
But note this, that when he walked into the studio, I had thought that he had known JR for the longest amount of time. Yeah.
Vaughn's so friendly though that everybody.
Yeah, so I was trying to gauge the relationship. When JR invited me to the studio, it's like, I'd like to pick your brain and figure out what you know, and so forth. Because he saw me on the TV show, so that was the next step for me, you know, into this big music industry
world,
you know, not knowing much yet, coming off the TV show and now actually being in the real industry, you know. So I saw him, I thought him and JR were cool, and then.
Long story short, man, there was like a whole lot of things that happened and we were supposed to sort of sign contracts and like solidify everything. But, you know, you see, I've always been this type of person. Well, I still believe it. I believe the only power that can oppose political structures and politicians is art. You know, I think I think art's the only thing that can stimulate people more than any rules and regulations and anything like that. I think it's like a part of all of us. We're all born to be creators in a sense, right? Even if it's a business you create or anything, you're born to do that.
Yeah.
So because I sort of value art so much and I'm such a massive hip hop head, or I'm so involved in hip hop culture, when I saw Shane and how talented he is and what he can do, I felt like there's no way I could live my life comfortably knowing that, you know, he's in like the wrong hands, or his talent could be not, when I say the wrong hands, it's such a big statement, but it's not necessarily always the truth, but just in context, it just didn't feel right because the art could be affected. So I chatted to him, and after a couple of months later, we were sort of feeling in the same way. We get along in a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And then, a few months later, we just opened our own company and did our own
thing.
And
well, it seems like it's a good symbiosis, right? You're both getting something out of this. It's and you're creating good stuff together.
Yeah
that's the thing. I mean,
you trust each other.
Yeah.
That's important,
right? I think that's probably the most important thing.
In terms of managing someone, that's probably number one. Because there's going to be stuff that Vaughn will agree to that Vaughn thinks is good for you that you don't even know about sometimes.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. And I feel like if I was in that same position and I had to manage someone, or if I had someone's best interest at heart,
if there were
certain things that I'd keep away or tell me.
Sometimes, you know, also if there's something nasty going on that he can protect you from.
The thing with managing is it's such an interesting thing
that I've been learning, Gareth. It's like, you know, there's certain things you need to do within a management role or for a person's career. There's certain things you need to do, there's certain things you need to keep, but you also need to find a way how to balance those principles with who this person is and how they react to situations, you know. So it's sometimes there's information you want to tell them because it's really exciting, or it's really, it's maybe something we need to think about or something we need to change, but you might need to wait for the right moment to do that because you want to get it across in a proper way. You don't want it to be misunderstood or misinterpreted.
Yeah.
So it's like an interesting skill that you've got to kind of learn, like when to what to approach your artist with and how to approach them becomes such a like valuable part of your business.
So what's the what's the goal here? Do you want to start a successful major? Are you looking for, because you got the record label as well, are you looking for personal success? Are you looking to bring other artists in? Are you looking to make money?
My personal goal is to be able to do what I've never been given in the position that I needed it the most. Like I was saying, I was, when I first been exposed to being, you know, signed to this record label or whatever, I wasn't happy with the experience that I found with the contract or whatever. I'm just trying to be able to give that opportunity back to kids who are in the same position as me one day, you know, when I when I made some of myself, but know that I actually have their best interests at heart, and I just want to give them the resources and the opportunities and not take away from them. That's the
we want to kind of grow the culture of these young kids, and it's exactly what Shane's saying, is to kind of really be there for them as opposed to kind of have you know, the commercial interests at heart, because I feel like that can sometimes ruin a lot of young people that are dedicated to the art, you know?
Especially this generation. Yeah. is like, it's all the kids, man.
So tell me what, tell me about the song, because I've got one of your songs here to play.
Which one?
Flex, which one is the top floor?
Yeah, the
tell
top,
me about top
the
floor.
Top floor, we've been working on the project, and it's been a lot of conscious and very thought-provoking type of music, and me and Big Star Johnson is actually featured on the song too.
Right.
Dropped a record, it's actually about a year ago, and was a heavy type trap joint, and we felt like we wanted to do something again, but do something unexpected, and what's not happening in the music in hip hop at the moment, and everything's been so serious, so we wanted to loosen up and just vibe out and have a good time. So it's just a fun joint.
Let's give this a listen and let everybody get familiar with you, and then we can talk some more.
Yeah.
Right, you relaxed? You got something to drink?
Yeah.
You happy?
I'm chilling.
Vaughn, massage is goddamn fit. All right, here's Top Floor featuring Big Star Johnson. We're talking to Shane Eagle. Dab, then I walk. This is fantastic. I like it. I actually got kind of carried away with the song. Forgot it was you that was talking.
It's vibing.
That's
just
nice.
Just chilling, talking like about it. Important stuff.
I like it, dude.
Touch that.
Central is covering all things science as we broadcast live from the Science Forum 2016 that's held at the CSIR in Pretoria on the 8th and 9th of December. This year, the focus will be on the social sciences and its role in shaping humanity, innovation, and transforming society. If you'd like to attend this informative event, don't forget to register before the 30th of November at sfsa.co.za. That's sfsa.co.za. Join Tebow, Touch, Aria, and Kat as they broadcast live from the CSIR. It's sfsa.co.za. Right now, you can register immediately while there are still places available. The Science Forum 2016, proudly brought to you by the Department of Science and Technology. And that would be Minister Naledi Pandor. So make sure you get your tickets ASAP. sfsa.co.za. Shane Eagle's with us. That was his song a moment ago. Top Floor. Very nice.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much.
It's good that you know, I'm pleased you still like your song. A lot of people, when I play their song, they sit there, they're kind of like, yeah, this old thing again.
Yeah, nah, I vibe out.
You love it,
I put pride in it. I put everything in it, so.
It's beautiful.
So I vibe
well done.
On. I love your shirt, though.
What is it?
I don't know. That's why I like it.
I've got a TV interview on CNBC at 1 o'clock.
It looks like your wardrobe. Looks like you know, like cartoons. You know how cartoons have like a set wardrobe. Looks like you have like 50 of blue shirts and then 50 blue jeans. Like,
are you?
Like,
you want to see my cupboard?
Yeah, it could be sick.
Let me show you this.
I gotta see this.
Kind of worse.
What have you done, Eagle?
He's now going to talk about his wardrobe for 5 minutes.
Yeah, let's do that. But it's a very very particular person.
Not because it's a great wardrobe, but. I'm very organized. So I'll show you what I've got.
See,
and then
I know this.
I just love being organized.
I can just tell.
Just find this picture. Cause
and then my wardrobe looks like a piece of shit. But it's just like a lot of swag in it.
There's t-shirts.
You see? Like, this is exactly what did I say? Yeah. I said a bunch of blue shirts. Just
then you got some white ones.
Okay, there's blue, white, gray,
that's
and
so neat.
Black.
That's like the neatest.
So neat, bro. Right. I could like
you got a little bit of color on the top there, those days. Yeah.
Well, you know,
those days, yeah.
It's where I get my EFF t-shirt.
What's life without a bit of whimsy at the top?
Oh, my goodness.
But yeah, so maybe I do. Maybe I fulfill that gap in the market. I don't know. Listen, dude, tell me about... you were one of the opening acts for J. Cole. That must have been pretty cool.
Man, that was this year, I thought that was the biggest highlight for me. I always say to people, especially because this has been the first year ever since The Hustle where I've actually been in the industry, and it's been a consistent growth for me, and I feel like where I'm at right now is exactly where I wanted to be at. And
so you're ticking off the milestones. Like, it's moving in the right direction, it's not going too slow or too fast.
No, it's just where it's supposed to be.
That shows a major amazing maturity. Most people are always in a hurry,
or they think
they want to slow down because it's moving too fast.
I feel like it's where it needs to be, and that's I've never been in a hurry And I've always been patient, so I've been in the middle of that. The J. Cole experience, I thought, until something else happened later on in this year that I'll tell you about, was definitely the biggest moment for me. Not because it was 20,000
people. You
meet him? No, I didn't get to meet him.
Oh, I hate that. They always just walk on stage and ignore you, right?
It was too much. But J. Cole, opening for J. Cole, because of, you know, I've in a sense idolized him. You know, it's not that I got the gig.
So who, I mean, in rap, uh-huh. You have to have role models. You have to have people you look up to. J. Cole's in there. Who else?
Definitely J. Cole. Pac, definitely.
Good man. So far, you're speaking exactly the right language.
J. Cole, Pac.
If you say Lil Wayne, I'm going to fucking kill you.
Lil Wayne.
Oh.
Yo, Lil Wayne is one of the greatest rappers.
Tell me why.
Because Lil Educate. Wayne, because
tell them why they didn't get out.
Because there is nothing, everything crazy, explicit, and the craziest shit you've ever heard a rap artist say has come from Lil Wayne. Period. He's had the craziest puns. If you're gonna go on a rap, you know, a tick list and a box that you need to tick for everything that a rap artist needs to be, that is Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne. Right. Is everything that a rap artist need to be.
And I'll try.
I always get the craziest, like, you know, looks in the circle when I put Wayne in the top five of all time, and that's because of the experiences that I've had with Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne is. I feel like.
Flex, people, do you agree with this?
I mean, you know what it is. I feel like people who know Wayne and know the old Wayne and know the Lil Wayne who saved when they said hip hop was dead in 2008, who sold 1 million records in the first week, is the Lil Wayne I know versus the Lil Wayne who says that he doesn't really know anything about the black movement in America at the moment. That's the Wayne that I know versus the Wayne that everybody's being exposed to, not because of the media, but everybody knows that you shouldn't believe what you read in the media.
Yeah, and nobody should think Black Lives Matter is a good movement, because that's a heap of shit if ever there was one. Yes, Flex?
No, 100% agree with Shane. I remember Lil Wayne when he was still in that rap group of like four guys.
Hot Boys.
And then he went solo with Lollipop and then just changed the game.
That's Wheezy F, baby, man.
I feel like I've just walked into a love fair. Okay, thank you. Yeah. All right, fine. Enough about Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
I'll try again.
But yeah, the J. Cole experience was crazy for me because he was that guy to me. You know, because it wasn't just, yo, Shane Eagle, you got this crazy gig to open up for 50 Cent. It was, Shane, you're going to be performing on the same stage as your idol on the first year that you decided to take this rap career seriously. That's a big thing for me.
And that is amazing. But you said there's something better that happened afterwards.
This is what happened. We had a crazy sold out shows in Cape Town about a month ago, Sneak Exchange. I was performing, Delez was performing, a couple of other.
Youngster.
And these are all youngsters actually from the city, and I have a lot of love for Youngster, and he's a well-groomed rapper in that sense in Cape Town, putting Cape Town on the back. But chilling, and now with the TV gig, we'll speak about how I've found a balance in trying to use this TV to supplement what's really important to me, and find a balance by not being Shane Eagle the presenter or Shane Eagle the rapper, but just Shane Eagle in general.
Well, you should be able to do as many things as you want to in this business, and you have to, in fact, because you know, no one does just one thing in it.
That's very true.
You have to be able to sell merchandise. You have to be able to do your TV stuff. To be able to do your songs.
Even some behind-the-scenes stuff, people writing scripts, people coming up with TV concepts and content.
Yeah, just crazy ideas in general.
So where does Shane Eagle come from? You get asked this all the time, but for people who are listening now, they're going to want to know.
Yeah, I get. There was a little church in Ruby Ridge when I was coming up. There was a little church called Eagleside Ministries, and that was the church that, you know, we didn't really want to go to church. It was just there was nothing else to do.
Right.
You know, so people were just like, oh, let's just not do drugs. Let's go to church. Just, you know,
it's a good reason.
And just come across a certain way. You know,
thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. And then the church called Eagleside Ministries. There was a little group. That's how I met. That's why I always say there's not just Shane Eagle. There's Nash Eagle and Vuji Eagle. I'm just the only one who actually.
Okay. So it was like you guys took this on as your kind of.
It was a little click.
Right, got you.
It was a little click.
That's kind of nice, though.
And they used to step, and then I'm the one who kind of put the Eagles on the map now.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like it. That's a good description of why it came about. Some people have terrible reasons.
And made up.
For their name.
Whole
okay, so your real name?
Shane Hughes.
Oh, well, that sounds not like a rapper.
Yeah, at all, you know what I'm saying? Sounds like a cologne or something.
Sounds like someone who goes to university and studies actuarial science. Hello, I'm Ian Hughes.
Yeah.
I'm here to do your books.
I would have been doing that.
All right, you got women in your life right now?
Yeah, I've had the same girlfriend for a very long time. So
really?
Yes, I have.
How long?
7 years.
That is outrageous.
Yeah, especially in this lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you manage to keep that together?
I'm not perfect.
Yeah,
That's the first step.
Usually guys say that when they're cheating.
No. It's been a bizarre and a crazy experience for me as well, because a lot of people are shocked when they hear how old I am, and then they put the puzzle together.
How old are you?
I am 20.
20 years old, and you've been with the same girl for seven years. So from 13.
That is correct. Yeah,
when he first started getting hair on his balls. Bro.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
This girl has... She knew your balls before they had hair.
Yeah, she knows them like from day one. She knows her balls. She's
terrible.
She knows my balls better than she knows herself. You know what I'm saying?
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, but it's a crazy
experience.
You're not
bored with each other 7 years?
Not at all.
Promise me?
Promise you.
Never cheated?
Never cheated. It depends what cheating is.
Well, have you had breakups and then...
Yeah,
been with other,
I have. Okay. I have. Yeah, recently. Right.
But then you got back together.
And that's when I realized, this lifestyle is not getting to you. You're not on TV. You're not this guy that people... put on a pedestal. You just Shane Hughes.
Yeah, come back, go down. Back. And then you went back to her and you said, "Listen, I screwed up. I'm sorry.
I did."
And she forgave you.
I told that she did. And that was the craziest part for me in 7 years. But the craziest part for me is not being together for 7 years and using that as a excuse to stay together. Because people use time. Like, we've been together for so long, we shouldn't break up. That's not what I believe.
That's a terrible reason to stay together.
People
it's
do
almost
that.
Like you feel you've invested
exactly.
So much.
Exactly. So you might as well not let go. But it's like a crazy concept to watch each other grow up. You know,
well, if you've been around each other that long, and especially through those years from 13 to 20, that's like formative.
And the other thing is that, you know, what I've been exposed to over the last year and seeing how people treat me differently because of certain things is why I keep that sense of stability in my life.
She
treats me the same. She's always been that one person that, you know, after a crazy of 3 nights or 3 gigs of shows and traveling is where I can come back, you know, back and just feel like I'm at home. That's the important thing for me.
Obviously, you two don't live together, though, yet.
No, we don't live together.
Okay, but you see each other regularly?
Yeah, we do. We do. It's been a bit difficult over the last...
Here in Joburg as well?
Yeah, she's here in Joburg. Because, show's December.
December's crazy.
Blessed, you know. We're traveling and doing a lot of shows.
You got a lot of bookings, Vaughn?
Yeah, we do, man. We're all over the place.
Vaughn, how many gigs?
Yo, I can't think of the top of my head, but there's a lot, man. Eight, nine.
Yeah, you can check Instagram. I actually put the
Okay, we'll do all the plugs. Don't panic.
Yeah, let's plug.
We'll plug the hell out of it. That's why Vaughn's here. He's not going to
panic. That's my girlfriend.
Does your girlfriend ever criticize things that you do, whether it's, you know, if you ask her for an honest opinion on your music, or you ask her for what she thought of what you did on TV, or any, she say she'll be honest with you.
Yeah, she's the one person who I know is honest with me, because we have a real relationship where it's like we want, you know, better for each other. So if I sit and play her a record and I'm like, what do you think of this? And I always told them her opinion was the opinion I always try to get, you know, because I remember, like, I had this, it was like a little bit like I used to be jealous a bit, because I used to, you know, when I was coming up and recording my first types of songs, I remember what she listened to, but I remember her attachment to the music, but it was never my music, you know. We always listen to my music, and but it was just one of those things that we play now,
you know,
and then
she cheated on your music. you cheated on her.
Basically, goddamn! If you had to find that angle, like,
everything evens up.
But over the years, it's been a crazy thing, because now she's, you know, a big fan of the new project, like genuinely a big fan of the music, and you know, sometimes she might help me. She's my ghostwriter now and then.
That's nice. It seems like a good relationship.
Yeah,
I'm happy to hear
she's
that.
Cool.
Sometimes you just find the right person.
That's very true.
You just luck out.
That's a very true thing.
So tell me about the. First of all, the gigs, and then we talk about this mixtape.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Project, mixtape, album, whatever you want to call it. The lines are so blurred in 2016 in rap and hip-hop.
Yeah, because nobody releases albums or... Yeah. You could do singles, you could do a mixtape.
The whole game's just different right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, the gigs,
This weekend, we got The Sands and Taboo on Saturday.
Yeah, we've got... Stay Fresh.
Place in Randfontein on Friday. Then the coming weeks, I think next week on the 9th and the 10th, we've got...
you can do that.
We've got a couple of gigs coming up in Johannesburg. These 2 weeks is in Joburg. We've got Then from Bumalanga the 15th, from the 15th onwards.
Now, do you have to schlep Vaughn with you every time?
Yeah, but the craziest thing is Vaughn DJs now.
Uh-oh, he's muscling in on your territory. Yeah. Your manager must never be in the front.
Yeah, no, but he's not in the front.
Send him back to the office.
I'm right in the back.
He's way in the back.
Yeah,
like,
he's literally in the back.
Keep him out of your business.
I need him up
while
front.
While you're performing, he must be counting the money.
He counts the money while we perform.
Yeah, I do that. I do that simultaneously. So yeah, I think from the 15th onwards, Gareth, we're in Mpumalanga, we're in Cape Town, yeah, we're in East London, and we got a couple coming up in like weird places like Kuruman and Richards Bay.
Kuruman?
Yeah.
How many people could possibly come to a gig?
And then when I asked him,
well, we were shocked because we got booked, but I like doing the places where I've never been.
I want to know what happens in Kuruman when you come back.
I need to let you know.
I need to hear, please. I want an update on Kuruman.
We'll record it
ASAP. All right,
we'll record it, bro.
That's crazy.
All right, listen, you two, Shane, very well done. You've done a lot already. You're on your way to good things. I'm very, very happy
for
you.
That.
It's
Thank
good
you.
To meet you and sit down and actually have a proper talk. Shane Eagle, everybody, and Vaughn Thiel, who you know, of course, from Aria's show. You know him from the CliffCentral.com show with the Unplugged and Charge guys. Yep. So it's good
also
to see you always.
Strip clubs, you guys might recognize.
Yeah, many times
many
strip clubs. You've been a huge cock. massive
yeah,
cock.
Yeah, just that.
Sometimes people think you have three legs. Right, very good. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for having
enough,
me.
Enough of this bullshit. We could, sit here and yenter it up all day.
Skirt!
All right. For those who work, live, and play the night shift, get ready for a little company. My Night Shift is a brand new show on Touch Central, weekdays between 6 and 8 p.m., hosted by some of South Africa's biggest names. Join hosts Tall Ass Mo, Nomza Mombata, and Tim Modise every week as they salute a different night shift through the week with a different series of really interesting interviews, trending topic discussions, the latest music, and so much more. That's My Night Shift, weekdays between 6 and 8 p.m. Zero rated for the MTN family. And we're just getting started. Thank you for joining us today. If you've had a happy time, good. Listen again tomorrow. If you didn't, tell your enemies. And they can listen tomorrow. Everybody wins. It's 4 minutes to nine. Yes, Kat, we need to go to Kat Katlego.
Yes,
Mulai. Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say Oskiro's the guest for tonight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we only bring big names here, guys.
We got Glenn Lewis mixing on O'Neill's show today.
Yeah.
And we've got Oskiro coming in this
for
evening.
For night shift, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Mm.
Phenomenal.
That's nice.
All right, thank you, Kat. Thanks for the info. There we go, everybody. Here's what you need to know in terms of what's in the news. It's our UnNews, which comes to you every single morning at about this time. Thank you to Ben, thank you to Mubs, thank you to you for being a part of it today. All right, here's what you need to know. Gwede Mantashe said there will not be any cabinet overhauls despite some ANC MPs speaking out against Jacob Zuma. All positions will stay the same, but certain MPs should not be expecting the ANC Christmas box next month, with some MPs even having their Saxon World Chabin Platinum cards revoked. The value of the rand continues to yo-yo around the life and times of Jacob Zuma. On the back of this trend, economists are predicting that him and his attendance at Fidel Castro's funeral, as well as speaking incoherently about the late dictator's greatness to the world's press, should see an additional 7% decrease in the currency value by Friday. And it's Wednesday, and that means the Minister of Sport and overpriced awards shows, Fikile Mbalula, finally over his hangover from the 2016 SA Sports Awards. He was upset at the lack of trending time for himself in the event, so next year he has asked if he could get all the Gupta paid tweeters to focus on this event in order to rectify it. We will see you tomorrow. Be good if you're not take photos.
This is CliffCentral.com.